Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States.
We need to talk.
It's showtime.
Yeah, showtime.
Maybe you'll laugh.
Ha ha ha, hearty, har, ha.
Maybe you'll cry. You definitely will be entertained.
It's that simple. Are we clear? Are we clear?
On with the show, this is it.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of the BS Show, coming to you from the Executive Suites of Minnesota Studio in St. Louis Park. This segment brought to you by Brad Sean Bryant, always seeking justice for the injured at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. We are joined by Surf Dogs founder and dentist extraordinaire Bernie Bomberg, still working Mondays over at the Snelling Avenue Dental.
Still returning to the salt mines once
a
week.
Yeah, with salt mines, all right. Our lawyer slash attorney slash barrister extraordinaire Jeff O'Brien, and our very special guest, founder and CEO of Brother Justice Whiskey, Phil Steger. Any relation to Will Steger? He's your dad.
No. So he's got to start, you know, he can't claim to ride my coattails anymore.
Oh. So you ever do sled dogs?
No, we'd love it. We've been up there. We've met folks there because it's also Steger Mucklucks and all of that. But somehow there aren't many Stegers in the state of Minnesota, but none of us are related.
Okay. I thought maybe you were having a special edition of like, you could, how about Steger Sled Dog Whiskey?
I love that. Why should they be deprived?
Well, people would may get some of those people. They probably have a flask with them when watching this guy go.
Right.
So now, all right, let's. We want to talk about the political quagmire in Minnesota. But before we do that, how many whiskeys do you do?
We just do one.
We do it well.
One basic formula. We focus on single malt whiskey. That's it. So single malt means it's just made from one grain, barley, malted here in Minnesota. And we make it at one distillery. Everything from, you know, everything between the grain we get and the barrels we get, everything in between that, we do ourselves in Northeast Minneapolis. We brew it, we ferment it, we distill it. And by focusing on single malt whiskey, we're showing just how much flavor and how much possibility there is in just one grain.
So who's Brother Justice?
Brother Justice is a real person. He's a real person from Minnesota history. Kind of a folkloric hero that's whose story hasn't been well told. He was a monk at St. John's by St. Cloud, where I went to college. And during Prohibition, he taught Minnesota farmers from the area how to build stills and make world-class whiskey.
Well, that is a good backstory. Is that on the labeling?
It's on the labeling.
Right. Now, and this is why Jeff is such an outstanding attorney. He will even work with a Johnny.
Yes. When there's whiskey involved, of course.
Him being very much into the Tommies. I mentioned political quagmire. What is happening? It's a statement, not a question. What's happening on the landscape? Today is the deadline for filing. And Jeff said, well, give the latest update of who filed today.
Well, I've been following it on Twitter. If you go hashtag MNGOV, that's a good one to follow as to who's all filing for governor. But there's been some others as well. So right now, I'm trying to track everything. You almost need like the CSI stuff with the photos and the strings and everything to figure out who's where. So on the DFL side, so we have Aaron Murphy and Aaron McQuaid. That's the endorsed DFL ticket. They're in. Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan.
Has he filed yet?
Did
he file a while ago?
I don't think he's filing sometime today. Okay. I know that I just saw a tweet that Tim Pawlenty and Aaron Murphy, you know, said hi and shook hands as they were filing at the same time this morning. So they're both in.
All right.
So we have the DFL endorsed ticket. We have Walz Flanagan. The kind of the shocker in the race. Well, a couple shockers. Rebecca Otto, who everybody expected to run in the primary if she did not get the endorsement, dropped or has suspended her campaign. And she's the sitting state auditor. And, of course, the DFL endorsed somebody else for auditor. So presumably Rebecca Otto isn't running again.
Her name recognition alone would help her.
I don't know.
Who's the one they picked? See?
Yeah.
There's no name recognition there.
And then on the
you forgot Lori Swanson.
Well, the attorney general's race is the most bizarre thing. So Lori Swanson was seeking the DFL endorsement for re-election for attorney general. She's been in there how many terms now? Two, three? Something like that. Ever since Mike Hatch ran for governor, Lori Swanson's been the attorney general. She was his number two at the AG's office. And she didn't get endorsement on the first ballot, so 60%. And all of a sudden, she withdrew from the endorsement race. Everybody thought she was just withdrawing from the endorsement, meaning she was going to go to a primary. The DFL endorsed a guy by the name of Matthew Pelican. And then yesterday, and this was the bizarre, probably the most bizarre twist in all of
this.
There
is no question this is.
Lori Swanson dropped out of the attorney general race, filed for governor, where everybody thought she was going to be filing in the first place. That was a speculation months ago that she was going to be in the governor's race. And then picked as her running mate, sitting Congressman, soon to be retired Congressman Rick Nolan from the 8th District, who in March endorsed Tim Walz for governor.
Well, quite honestly, I think what she did is, here's why to me it's so strange. It shows such indecisiveness. Okay, you're running for attorney general, then you drop out. Now I think I'll go for governor. But of the lieutenant governor choices, he's probably the best of any of them. Right?
He certainly has experience, but
well, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
because
you have to give her credit. That's the kind of the traditional balanced ticket. You've got Lori Swanson her background and being more of this is the whole thing with the metro versus outstate, picking somebody from the Iron Range. You know, you're talking about a DFL primary. Iron Range has always been a strong DFL area with the labor interests. And so I think maybe some of the calculation in how do you would find, the trick is when you know you're going to a primary, finding a ticket that would be able to appeal to traditional party constituencies, but also be broad enough to get through a general election.
I think the brilliant pick though was Erin Murphy, who few people have heard of, but by picking Erin May Quaid, she and Ruth Lorden pointed this out yesterday. She has mobilized the gay, lesbian, transgender vote for the primary. She needs to get through the primary, and I think her chances, if she had picked someone else, would not be as strong, because she will get support from supporters of the gay, lesbian, trans. I don't want to leave any of them out, but that community is going to come out and force the supporter in the primary, and not just in the Twin Cities area, but outstate as well. And I think, she's going to be more formidable than the others. I thought Walz, by the way. Now, I want to point out that that you are at the moment, Mr. Steger,
mm-hmm.
you're leaning to the right in your chair, but I believe you tilt left politically. So I just wanted to ask
you. I lean in the direction of justice, Bob.
I like it.
Good answer.
I don't understand what Tim Walz was thinking to announce as early as he did that he wants to make this a sanctuary state. It's like he was pandering to a group of people in Minneapolis more than outstate, where that just won't play outstate.
You know, I'm not going to second guess a candidate or a congressman
on
those sorts of decisions. Well, that's your show. But, I think, there's always a possibility it was a moral stance. It was always, it's always a possibility that you look at the situation and say, wow, the way that the federal government under the current administration is treating some of the most vulnerable people in our country is not the right thing to do. So what do we need to do at the state level to try to rectify that?
Well, but did he want to win and make a difference, or does he want to, moral stands are great, but also, and this is, we could go down this road, what Trump has taken, and I'm not a Trump guy, but he has taken a great deal of criticism about separating children from their parents. Parents who are coming in illegally, parents who were being separated under Obama from their children. Those photos we saw of kids in cages are from like 2014 when Obama was president. I think it was horrible that they put these kids in cages. There had to be a better way. I mean, it looked like they were in these dog kennels,
mm-hmm.
but it was happening under Obama. And the other thing is, then don't cross into the U.S. knowing you are going to be treated as a criminal, just like if I committed a felony. They come to my house. They're not going to say, bring the kids with you. They're going to pull me out of my house. That's what that's how they're being treated under Obama and how they're being treated under Trump as well. Now, Trump deserves a lot of credit. This thing with, we'll get to the Eagle thing, what he did there. Is just it's just more of his ego and his bluster.
That was about the only Trump thing I didn't talk about when I was moonlighting over on Sam's show this morning. I was going through all the other issues.
Well, let's save that one because we got plenty we could talk about on that. But anyway, we won't. Here's the road I want to go down, though. Go ahead.
If I say one more thing on this on the party politics stuff, on the other side, we have the Republicans, and I've said off air before, being a disgruntled Republican, and being involved with the apparatus years ago, I don't think that they're qualified to endorse. That group isn't really qualified to endorse a candidate for statewide office, but that's just my personal opinion. Jeff Johnson, who can't fundraise out of his way out of a paper bag, calling for Tim Pawlenty to withdraw from the governor's race yesterday in the name of unity.
You know what? Every time I just hear his name, I start to doze off. He ran the most bland, milquetoast bid for governor 4 years ago, maybe in the history of the state. And now suddenly he's getting fiery.
Yeah.
You know, where was that fire when he ran against Dayton?
Well, he was measuring his blades of grass to make sure they were cut all evenly.
Let me ask you, because, you are a little bit more left of middle than right of middle.
Yeah, I'm a whiskey guy, but that's where I where I come from.
But here, yep. I'm going to ask you to speak for all Democrats. No, but who do you think like the Democratic Party finds more formidable, or who do they not want to see coming out of the primary? I would say it's Pawlenty.
I would think
more than Johnson.
I think it's Pawlenty because people have memories of how devastating he was to the state. I mean, what he did to the budget, what he did to many of the most vulnerable people in. Medical vulnerabilities.
Now we're on talking points, aren't we?
No, that's just. No. I mean, I wasn't at the convention. I'm not a party guy, but I just know that a lot of people who had health care before Pawlenty came out of the Pawlenty administration without it, and so
like
I think
now with ACA, so Obamacare.
So I think what people that's what I think a lot of people don't want to see, and I think with Aaron Murphy. You know, you have somebody who was in the legislature during the Pawlenty years who I think can speak to that record very clearly about what was done during his last administration. And then the other thing I think that's interesting about Erin Quaid is that, you know, she was the target of, you know, the guy, the Forest Service guy who always had the handcuffs on his lapel.
Cornish,
that guy. She was the target of his harassment. And so I think in picking Erin Quaid, it's not just, you know, the LGBTQ. It's also just
thank you.
Everyone, you know, everyone, and I think every woman that has been in a position of power and found another man in a position of power belittling them and trying to isolate them and marginalize them. So I think that's, and she's a representative in a suburban district who converted, you know, switched it from R to D. So I think she's a strong choice.
And let me, I mean,
a Tommy, I will say that.
Okay, so that
I'm not saying anything bad about Erin. She's a Tommy. We don't say bad things about each other.
Well, I happen to like on several levels because it's not like we're buddies, but I do know Pawlenty, and I tweeted this the other day. I voted for Paul Wellstone twice. I would have voted a third time. I didn't agree with many of his political views, but I did believe he was sincere.
Yeah.
And he was an honest guy. He supported what he believed was the right thing to do. And I believe the same thing about Pawlenty, that whether you agree with his politics, he's doing what he thinks is best for the state. And full disclosure, the BS show also produces the podcast. So I mean, I do like Tim. I do. And I will be voting for him. Even if, and I don't believe in it, you know, I'd say it's about a 1,000,000-to-1 shot because he has a shot. But I'll be writing in Tim Pawlenty if for some reason he decided not to run or something would happen.
You can write in Ann Romney.
Well, I already have her psychic extraordinaire, Ruth Lorton, has already predicted that he will win the governorship.
You know, the thing is and we see yesterday just being a crazy example of with the whole E85 thing again. There's so much campaign left. There's, you know, and I will say that with the whole ED85 thing yesterday, that's a fault of the campaign, not the candidate. They should have anticipated that
is a great point. But it is a great point that they're inept.
Yeah, given what happened 12 years ago with Judy Dutcher getting that that question and the effect it had on that race, every campaign should have their lieutenant governor candidate ready to answer the question, what the hell E85 is.
All right, now we're going to take a quick break. We'll talk about Trump and others, but I want to go out by mentioning this. At the time I saw that come across the wire or Twitter, I was looking. Now, you guys are using microphones. They're called Shure SM58. Hmm. The equivalent, what I understand, but I don't have it. I've got 13 of these because I have, you know, a studio at home and I have a mobile one. Is a Sennheiser E835. So when I saw it, I looked at it quick and I thought, why are they talking about microphones? Because I was online looking to see where I can get one, you know, because I wanted to, I figured I'd stick my feet into the eBay world where you can get, a much less expensive one. These things are, the ones I have are indestructible, but I wanted to try the other one. So I'm thinking, wow, microphones are now a political
hot issue. Hot in the governor's race.
Hot mic.
Well, we'll take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back.
I've gotten to know Michael Bryant from the law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant. He's a good guy and a great attorney. And now here's what you should know. Michael and the other attorneys at Bradshaw & Bryant will help you if you've been involved in an accident. Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney. And that's the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
From the Executive Suites of Minnesota Studio in St. Louis Park. We are back. This segment brought to you by Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System. If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, go to smartstartmn.com. Now, I really should have this thing running during the breaks, but I'm just going to say
could
this.
Sell like the BS show out to, you know,
I like
the BS show hot mic.
What the one thing I want to say is one of the greatest talking points ever and the most hilarious is what we're hearing now. The way a lot of Democrats are explaining why the unemployment rate is the lowest in, well, some people are saying in history when you look if you parse it, is because of President Obama. It's what he did. After 8 years of blaming Bush, it's his policies are finally coming through. But we'll leave it at that. Bernie Bomberg is here.
He is.
Jeff O'Brien is with us. And Brother Justice Whiskey, founder and CEO.
Extraordinaire.
Now, no relation to Will Steger.
Despite the rhyming.
Phil Steger. When you were born, you're a young fellow, was he sled dogging then?
Yeah, so I remember going and seeing him and the team after they got back from their
adventure. 1986, I remember being at the airport and my parents somewhere have a little piece of paper that they all signed. I remember that
yeah,
was cool.
I've got, you know, not to one-up Jeff, who I love Jeff, and he can one-up me on maybe 100 other things, but I got a signed T-shirt.
Nice.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. I got a scrap of paper.
Now, and I don't drink, so if I did, I would probably drink myself to death on your whiskey. I would drink to excess because I'm sure it's very tasty, but Because I don't drink, I didn't realize, when are you debuting it? You have not yet debuted the whiskey, so, or you have a rollout coming?
Yeah, we've had a rolling start. What we've done that's a little bit different than I think any other craft distillery in the state is we went into this market with one focus, which was single malt whiskey. And
which I think is a great idea instead of spreading it too thin.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways for people to do this. We got no judgments on any other way. That's just what we wanted to do. We wanted to say, this is what we want to drink. This is what we think Minnesota could become great for. I think it's a hard sell to say that Minnesota is going to become a better bourbon maker than Kentucky, right? But single malt American whiskey is something that nobody else is really doing in the country. And that's something that we could, Minnesota, not just us, but Minnesota could become really known for. And so we went into that, looking at that, and instead of, you know, and we started small. We knew it was going to take time to really understand how to make the best possible single malt whiskey we could make.
How many times did you say, like, Edison trying to find the incandescent light bulb, did you say, nope, not going to work? And did you know the instant you tasted this?
We started to get an inkling about, well, we've been just underground. We're literally in a little cavern under northeast Minneapolis. We wanted to find a place that was out of the way. Nobody could see. So we would just, and we raised the money. You know, we're spending our own money to make sure that we're getting it right. One of my principles is customers should never pay for you to practice. And you don't
and
you don't experiment on customers. So we wanted to pay for our own practice, our own experimentation. And about a year into it, we started to get some product that I was really liking. And we started with a Scotch recipe, single malt, so all barley. And we didn't have a lot of money, so we got whatever barrels we could. Because, you know, there's two steps to the process. Well, there's three steps to the process. You brew a beer. This is how I describe it to my 8-year-old daughter's friends. Honey, a distillery is where we make beer, turn the beer into a cloud, and make the cloud rain whiskey. And good whiskey is when you catch just the right raindrops in the glass. And I don't know, we haven't heard from those kids' parents yet, but hopefully that's an okay way to say it. But that's what we do. And so you've got to make a really great beer, and then you distill it, you start to evaporate it, and you've got to then collect just the right parts of that beer for flavor. And then the last stage is you age it in an oak barrel, and all those flavors have to come together. We started off aging in these barrels we got from out of state, and they were fine. It was a nice, approachable whiskey. I was like, okay, we could go to market with this. Then we got a line on Minnesota oak, some Minnesota-grown oak barrels, coopered up in Avon, Minnesota, which is where Brother Justice lived. And we put our whiskey into that. And like Tom Waits once said about a cup of coffee at a diner, our barrel just got up right off the plate and beat the shit out of our whiskey.
Hey, you can take it farther than that.
So... And because our whiskey wasn't strong enough to defend itself from the flavor of this Minnesota oak barrel. So we faced this really big choice. Do we make whiskey? Do we get barrels weak enough for the whiskey flavor? Or do we make our whiskey flavor strong enough and robust enough to match
the flavor? So how many times will you use the barrels over and over and
just
over
one
again?
Time.
Mm-hmm. That's it? And what do you do with them?
There's a secondary market for brewers. Home brewers love to use these barrels. We age in 5-gallon barrels, so they make great flavor with that. There's some ideas for aging maple syrup in the barrels. So there's second uses. We will get second uses of it for other products, but when we make our whiskey, we age it.
What do you sell the barrels for?
We haven't actually put a price on, but we.
I'll tell you where they'd
dear.
Be popular.
Where's that?
Barrel racing.
Barrel racing
for horses.
Ah, well, they're little. They're only 5 gallons. These are little Shetland pony races.
We were going to do with miniature horses.
There you go.
Miniature horses.
No, seriously, I want to do something where you actually race in carts around barrels.
Well, that would let's be work it out. Yeah, let's do
all
it.
Right, we'll talk about that. Now, Bernie, are you a drinker?
Very little.
Yeah, because I think it's a great idea what you did. And you right now, you're the only one in Minnesota making this type of malt?
That's making single malt. That's only making single malt whiskey. There have been a couple of other craft distilleries that have put a single malt whiskey out, but we're the only one where this is only focus.
Now you say, why do you start out with beer? Why don't you sell the beer too?
Can't
under Minnesota law.
You can't do both. You can make both, but they have to be in segregated operations. You can't sell both for on-premise consumption.
Well, how's your beer taste?
Well, the beer we brew
for this
whiskey is not meant to be drank as beer.
Oh, it's okay. I got you.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, for people that know, it tastes sort of like a barley wine IPA sour.
Well, to people who like drinking that sort of thing, sounds like a great idea. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to help you diverse in a week or two after you introduce the.
No, I think it's a cool business concept. Just the focus on the whiskey, and you know, the cool thing I've always said about our craft distilling industry is, in Phil's talking about, you know, the barley that he sources from Minnesota, the barrels that he sources. You know, we have this great farm economy here in Minnesota, and that's one of the cool things. I think even more, you know, some of the breweries have to get their hops from other places in the country. We're starting to see more locally grown hops, but with the distilleries, a lot of the raw ingredients can be sourced from right here in Minnesota.
Well, how many bottles do you hope to get in your first run?
So we've been building up our inventory. So you mentioned a little earlier that we haven't begun selling yet. We've been selling what we call single malt silver whiskey. We're the only producer of single malt silver whiskey in the country,
which means
it's single malt whiskey before it's been barreled. So it's before it's taken on the barrel flavor, and we've distilled this, and it's a delicious product. People are used to maybe moonshine or White Dog or White Lightning, which are typically corn-based. Corn's very sweet, very sugary. You get a very sweet, harsh alcohol from that typically. With a single malt whiskey, barley, you get a much more flavorful, creamier sort of...
How many acres of barley? I mean, how many suppliers do you have?
We just have one supplier. Minnesota is home to the largest malting house for distilled beverage spirits in the world, which is Rahr Malting down in Shakopee.
So we get
all of our malting from them.
Well, how many acres do they use?
I don't know. They get their barley. So Minnesota used to have a much larger barley crop economy than it does today. Since then, we're a corn and soybean state, primarily in sugar beets. So most of the barley itself is sourced from North Dakota and Canada. But then, and I don't know how many acreage it goes into a single bottle of whiskey, but that'd be really fun to find out.
Well, if you decide you want to do a hay whiskey.
Yeah, you got some hay there.
Oh, we got hay.
So just so folks know, this Saturday is actually the first day that we will be selling our barrel-aged single malt American whiskey.
Where at?
And we're in our distillery. That's the only place in the state that you can, actually in the world, that you can get in Northeast Minneapolis.
Well, that's
right
off
of Taft
and Hennepin. Give a more specific address.
So if you drive east on Hennepin from downtown and you cross Stinson, you take the next left, which is Taft Street, go up a block and a half to the Strong Scott Building, 451 Taft Street. We're in the middle of the building. You're going to just see a green door. It says 35 on it. There's a little steps. Walk up the green door, look inside, look for the monk, and follow him down to the distillery.
BYOB, bring your own bag, brown bag.
Yeah.
No, that's a, well, that's a,
so we'll that's con- this Saturday from 12 to 7. It's a pretty unique product. It's when we call it single malt American whiskey, it means what we're making is scotch aged in new oak American barrels. So it sort of splits the difference between a great scotch and a great bourbon.
That's the congratulations on that, and I hope you run out when you're selling on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
Now, do you want to save the Trump stuff to the next segment, and we'll do that? We can do three and out and Trump, or
Why not?
Do three and out plus Trump.
Let's
and also, Bernie wants to talk a little bit about the Twins too. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk some sports. Be right back. This is Bob. And when my wife, Mary, had a significant workplace injury and her employer was giving her the runaround, she made one call. That's all that was needed after she contacted Dave Bialke from Bialke Law. Dave took care of everything, and Mary was very happy with the job Dave did. Dave is a down-to-earth guy. He grew up in northern Minnesota, rides a Harley, and worked several construction jobs before becoming an attorney specializing in work-related injuries and workman's comp issues. If you're hurt, or even just hurting, you should do what Mary did and talk to Dave. To set up a free consultation, call Dave at 763-571-2410. That's 763-571-2410. Or visit BialkeLaw.com. That's BIALKE Law.com. Killebrew Root Beer and Cream Soda is available at Lunds and Byerly's, Festival Foods, at many other places too. Killebrew Root Beer and Cream Soda is great any time of the year. Now here's Twins legend Ken Herbeck to tell you more about Killebrew Root Beer and Cream Soda and his favorite time of the year.
In the history of Twins baseball, there's one name that means legend, Killebrew. There's only one old-fashioned root beer that delivers that Hall of Fame taste to thirsty fans everywhere. That's Killebrew. Your family will love Minnesota-made Killebrew old-fashioned root beer and cream soda. Pick up a cold, frothy Killebrew root beer at Target Field. Then cheer on the fun. Take it from Herbie. Killebrew. It's how memories are created and legends are made.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Paying too much for your healthcare costs? Solidarity HealthShare is a health-sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. For more information, call 844-313-4999. Again, 844-313-4999 or visit SolidarityHealthShare.org. That's SolidarityHealthShare.org. From the Executive Suites of Minnesota Studio in St. Louis Park.
They're back.
We are back. Bernie Bomberg, Jeff O'Brien, and Brother Justice Whiskey, founder and CEO, Phil, not the sled dog guy, Steger. And, you know, I wanted to also mention this. This segment brought to you by Relax the Back Store in Burnsville, where they are having a 20 to 70% off sale. They got they have bedding, but what they have wonderful stuff is massage chairs and chairs where it's like getting into a cocoon. These are the most comfortable chairs you'll ever sit in. So check it out in Burnsville, the Relax the Back Store in Burnsville, 20 to 70% off. Just ask for Robin Arndt, the manager, and he'll take care of you.
Think about how relaxing it would be with a glass of single malt in one of those chairs.
That would be good. You should talk to Robin about maybe having some chairs there that people can sit and sip.
This is fantastic.
Sit and sip.
Now you have to wet his beak.
I like that one. that's good. Now, President Trump, a statement was supposedly from him, but basically he referred to himself as their president, that they were basically, you know, he disinvited the Eagles because it sounded like only 10 were coming or 10 people from the organization. So he just said, don't come. You can't come anymore. And honestly, he should discontinue the whole thing entirely because remember the owner or Cheryl Reeve was complaining about the Lynx not even being invited. Well, maybe if one of your star players hadn't said she's not going, he would have invited you. There's so few basketball players. He did the same thing the year before. If you say you're not coming, he did the same thing to the Warriors. He's not going to invite you unless you come with a big entourage, because I think it was you who somebody said it, and you didn't talk about this on Sam's show, right? Justice and Drew and Sammy too, or did you?
No.
Then somebody said, maybe it was on the KQ Morning Show, that he needs to have, if he doesn't have a crowd, he doesn't want to do it. You know, it has to be record crowds. Mm-hmm. But I don't... he does some odd things. You know, if he would just stay out of his own way, because I do think some of the things he has done are good. I know that others would disagree, but he can't keep his mouth shut or his Twitter fingers silent, and that's his biggest problem.
Yeah, I think they ought to just, at least for now, just end the practice of inviting teams to the White House and stop this every single time somebody wins a championship going through this.
There's always going to be a player who doesn't want to go.
You know, in fairness, and you know, I'm going to reveal my bias here, I think there are national security concerns bringing the Eagles organization and their fans to our nation's capital. I mean, we don't need people eating horse crap in Washington, D.C. There's not enough motor oil to grease the fence posts and the columns at the White House to keep the Eagles fans off of them. They're a walking national security concern. So I just
and they'll find a way to sneak batteries.
Let's just keep the Eagles and their followers back in Philadelphia.
Here's the problem with that, though. He's still holding the ceremony for the fans, so they're going to be there anyway.
Good Lord,
they're
going to throw beer cans at the White House. Full
they
beers,
will. Yeah. There's yeah. no that's what they do. And I don't know that they buy the cheap beers when they throw. They fling whatever one's in the cooler.
Well, they're not flinging
the brightest
good stuff. Yeah, they're flinging the Bush Light.
That's
you know,
a good point.
It won't be the excellent craft beers from Minnesota.
No.
The 60 or so that Jeff represents.
And they aren't getting lit up beforehand on Good Brother Justice Whiskey. They're hitting Fireball and everything else.
I like the way you played that. Mm-hmm. Now, Bernie, you think the Twins are very fortunate to play in the worst division in baseball history. That's overstating it a bit, but it's a horrible division.
Yes, that helps a lot. Just when you thought that the Twins were going to descend into complete irrelevance, and I was right there, and I thought perhaps I'm going to not be able to waste my time watching Twins games anymore. Here they come and get good starting pitching and win 3 out of 4 from the first place mighty Cleveland Indians, and now they're kind of back in the Central Division race.
Absolutely they are, and it'll probably be like that all season because the division just stinks.
It does.
And that to their credit, they're in the division. Oh, good for them. Now, Jeff, we're going to do three and out, but I'd like to reverse the order because I think for Minnesota fans, the story about Aaron Rodgers holds much more significance.
Yeah, and we've talked on here before. You know, so the story is, this is from ProFootballTalk.com. Aaron Rodgers reportedly wants the ability to adjust his next deal on the fly. And what the talk is that he wants, he's trying to renegotiate his contract because he's not the highest paid quarterback in the NFL anymore. And he wants some sort of out clause that would allow him to renegotiate his contract anytime it's leapfrogged by other quarterbacks,
which will be every season.
And we talked about this when the Vikings signed Kirk Cousins, when he had the 100% guaranteed money. And you know, you think about that as, hey, what a great concept to guarantee somebody's money. You know, in the NFL, there's no guaranteed contracts generally. They get hurt. You know, we'll talk about in a minute about another story where it's a classy move by an organization. But hey, for somebody who represents players and former players, I like that idea. But that's not, I don't think, why they did it. I think that was really a poison pill, looking to the East, knowing that their biggest rival was going to be renegotiating Aaron Rodgers' contract, which is already gobbling up a huge amount of salary cap space for them, and they're in rebuilding mode. And so they've now have tweaked his ego, and he's going to ask, he wants some sort of clause that allows him to keep gobbling up more and more of the salary cap every time somebody else signs a quarterback for more than him.
The Vikings better hope that Kirk Cousins doesn't turn into their version of Joe Mauer.
True.
You know, when you give those that guaranteed money, and if he were to get hurt.
They're playing a little bit of Russian roulette. So far, so good. But, again, I think it's interesting what's playing out to the East as to where this whole thing lands. I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers says he wants to end his career as a Packer and, you know, has been, looking to buy into the Milwaukee Bucks and all that. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be whether or not he plays for a winning Packers team from here to the end, I think remains to be seen, depending on how much money he's asking for. He's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady will, walk back his contract every once in a while to sign players. That's not Aaron Rodgers. That's not, he doesn't subscribe to the Patriot way.
No, he prefigures it. If he can get it, why not get it?
Well, I can't blame him either. I mean,
they have no choice.
They've got an arc of about 10 to 15 years tops, if you're lucky, in the NFL, and they have, physical issues after they're done playing. Unlike the NBA, the NFL doesn't give them health insurance for life. I'd walk out of there with every dime I could possibly squeeze out of them.
Now let's go up there, because the second one or number two would tie in to a team or a guy doing something good.
Yes. The Zach Miller, tight end for the Chicago Bears, if people recall, had a very gruesome leg injury towards the end of last season where he dislocated his knee. He saw his leg go bottom part of his leg go one way, and it was very painful to watch. He had his contract expired at the end of last season, so he was a free agent. And obviously, the question is he coming back? My understanding is he's still rehabilitating. He's not like where Teddy Bridgewater was still under contract and getting paid while he rehabbed that knee all season. This is where he is. He is right now without a player, without a team, or so we thought. The Chicago Bears stepped up, in my opinion, did a really classy thing that they didn't have to do, but I think it shows a nice loyalty towards a player that put himself out there and got hurt in the process. They signed Miller to a 1-year deal. He gets $458,000 if he doesn't play a down. He gets
the minimum for him? For how long he's been in?
I think probably. So, okay. Probably. And then he gets $790,000 if he does play. So, I think it's a classy move. It's good PR for the Bears. I think it's, again, back to this issue of what these guys have to deal with when they're done playing. I would like to see this as a trend. I don't know if it's going to be, but I think it's a cool move on the part of the Bears.
It is, and that's not a lot of money to a team that's paying ridiculous money for other guys.
Right.
Now, this is probably my favorite item of all.
I know, and there's back to the Packers ties a little bit. Current Cleveland Brown, former Green Bay Packer Demaryius Randall, who signs with the Browns as a free agent in the offseason, who apparently, as we've learned from this story, is a huge fan of the NBA's Golden State Warriors, tweeted out. I don't know if he's trying to buy himself fans in his new community. He's trolling Cleveland Cavaliers fans on Twitter and says, if the Cleveland Cavaliers win the 2018 NBA Finals, I'll buy everyone who retweets this a jersey. The going rate for a Demarius Randle jersey on NFLShop.com is about $99.99. It has been retweeted. This was a couple days ago, but in the first 12 hours of the tweet, it was retweeted 90,000 times. So in the first 12 hours, he was up to a $9 million obligation. Now, of course, he's walking it back and saying it was a joke, which he said, someone said, zero chance he delivers. And he replied back, 100% chance. So it's really funny that now he's walking it back as, you know, as this goes on. But yeah, he... I think, you know, he's needing Golden State to kind of save his bacon here, dude. But again, why go troll your new fan base?
Well, again, brightest bulb, unlikely. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer tonight. You could pick the jersey of your choice, and I will buy it for you. Guarantee. You could have the Golden State Warriors, or you can have the Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. They are playing tonight, right?
I think so.
Game three.
I just came out of the NBA. I don't even know.
If the two teams combine for 500 points, I will buy a jersey of your choice for either team. How about that?
Going out on a limb there, Bob.
Generous. These teams can score.
That's a little less risky than mine. What I was saying last, I think it was last week, where I said I'll give $100 to the first person that says that will bet me that the Golden Gopher men's hockey team will be in the NCAA championship before Rob and Siobhan Stauber have the Minnesota Whitecaps in the National Women's Hockey League final.
Well, I think mine. I lose if this final score is 251-250. I'm done.
That's true.
So, see?
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to do it, though.
Putting it all out there.
Yep. I'm putting it out there. I'm going to be watching that game and pulling for you fans. I'm hoping you guys can knock it out of the park. Watch what happens. It'll be 276-270. It'll trounce me. It's the highest scoring game in history. All right. I want to say thank you to Bernie Bomberg, co-founder of the Surf Dogs. How about a Surf Dogs whiskey?
I like that.
Nice.
Let's
huh?
talk.
And he's the pick of the litter.
Yes, he is.
You got a lot of credit for that joke 2 weeks ago. It's still making the rounds.
That's right. That's a good one. And we can even preview next week because we didn't get to it. The top 10, what was the thing you saw that you did?
Oh, the thing I'm doing on Facebook. Yeah, I've challenged Bernie because Bernie's, you know, the anti-social media guy, or I call him the social media monk because he doesn't do social media. I had my cousin challenged me to do, it's a 10 albums, you know, over 10 days, 10 albums that had an impact on your life that are still in your rotation. So I'm up to day 7 of 10 today with Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction. I've had a few Michael Jackson ones, a Waylon Jennings one, Run DMC, Aerosmith. I got a few more to close out the list before the week. But I'd be curious because I had tagged one of my friends. You have to challenge somebody every day, and I challenged a musician friend who didn't respond to it. So I'm curious to get a musician's opinion as to what 10 albums would have an impact on your life that are still in your rotation.
We'll go with – this is week one. Week two, we'll ask you the next one. What would you go with as the album above all else that has an influence on you?
Well, as growing up for the British invasion, the earliest Beatles albums, Who albums, Rolling Stones, I just love that stuff. And I would be very hard picked to pick one over the other. It's like picking your favorite child.
I think that's a great point. Mine would skew more toward Al Jolson and Eddie Cantor, as well as I like the Frankies. I like Frankie Valli and the little guy, Frankie... Not Frankie Avalon, the other one.
Frankie teenagers.
Lyman, thank you. I was drawing a blank on Frankie Lyman.
It's hard to do, you know, because I've got a lot of... You know,
like Buddy Holly.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to narrow down, you know, with Prince. I ended up landing on Purple Rain partly because of, you know, it was the first one I had of his. And, you know, I'm getting into Kiss, Queen, and the Rolling Stones here towards the end. And this, I will say it's hard. Those are favorite bands of mine, trying to figure out one album that you would narrow it down to as the one. Took a little bit of doing, you know, because some of those bands you could fill up an entire top 10 with, you know, your favorite albums.
Now, Phil Steger, founder and CEO of Brother Justice Whiskey, what is the anthem song for you? Do you have an anthem song?
Moonshiner by Bob Dylan.
Nice. So that would be your pick. Very nice.
That's from the Bootleg series, which I would guarantee that's Bootleg, definitely like my that. The number one most influential album of my life, and it's still in my rotation.
Very nice. Well, Phil, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
We are going to take a quick break, come right back, and Psychic Ruth Lord, who is predicting Tim Pawlenty will win the governorship, she's got some more thoughts for you in a moment.
One thing, Bob. I'm sorry. But I know
what?
You want to cut to break.
What?
We're on Instagram. This we're on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Give them the
and,
website.
And you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and our website is Brother Justice.
J-U-S-T-U-S.
J-U-S-T-U-S.com.
I gave you
Hope
an entire segment.
Saturday.
You didn't think of mentioning it then? All right. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Thank you.
All right. Need an office, a suite, use of a conference room, or a virtual office? Get in touch with Executive Suites of Minnesota, which has locations in St. Louis Park, where we are, Woodbury, Edina, and the IDS Center in Minneapolis. Number to call is 952-851-5555. 952-851-5555. If you need a mortgage or are looking to refinance, you need to get in touch with Dan Garrell. Dan is with Amic Home Loans, and he will get you the best rate possible. To get in touch with Dan, visit alonewithdanny.com. That's A-L-O-A-N with Danny.com. Minnesota's oldest professional rodeo is June 22nd and 23rd in Buffalo. Do you have kids? Well, bring them. It's cheaper than a babysitter, and I bet your babysitter doesn't offer pony rides. Free pony rides are available for your kids at the Buffalo Rodeo. Go to buffalorodeo.com for ticket information. From the Executive Suites of Minnesota studio in St. Louis Park. We are back with psychic Ruth Lorden.
Many of us, myself often included, like to kind of live in the cloud and just not pay attention to politics. We like to stay objective. It really doesn't matter. However, this is a psychic feeling. This Minnesota election is getting national attention. We have two Senate races, controversial candidates and issues. So it behooves all of us to become educated and informed, because when asked what we think, what we feel, what's going to happen, we are going to look like complete dodo birds if we don't have an answer. And folks, when your business colleagues ask you, you do need to have an answer, or you could lose their trust. You don't have to have an opinion as much as facts. So please, psychic tip, become aware, become informed of the issues going on. You can express the issues to friends, colleagues, family, people we know from all over, without expressing an opinion. It's difficult, but it can be done. We all have to become true journalists with true news, not what they say is fake news, and journalists without an agenda. This will make life much simpler for us going on into this election cycle, because while we would rather talk about the weather, the great new foods, etc., our colleagues and associates want to know what we think and what's going on in our political realm. Thank you.
Thank you to Ruth. You can find her at ruthlorden.com, at Psychic Ruth on Twitter. She is at the Medina Entertainment Center at Wednesdays and Thursday evenings. I want to say thank you to all of our guests, all of our sponsors, all of our listeners. Coming to you from the Executive Suites of Minnesota studio in St. Louis Park, we will talk to you later.